Well, a very, very good day to you. Welcome to Tales of the Whales. This is our weekly podcast about cancer, really.
It is, and today we're coming to you from the lovely sunny garden.
Yeah, 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 and we are very lucky to have a lovely garden, and which is helping me a great deal. Now, I'm the one with the cancer, in case you're a new listener. And unfortunately, Lady W is the one who has to do all the hard work.
I thought you say, unfortunately, she's the one without cancer.
Well, I mean, I have to be honest. I've been. You can hear the birds and everything. We thought that would be a nice sort of effect. And the smell of the recently.
It's not an effect. It's just
no. It's effect. Effect. A recently trimmed lawn, which smells quite nice. Which you had to do because I can't do it anymore.
But that's fine. It's not very big, so it's easily done.
Yeah, yeah. And so we talk about the fact that I have cancer and I'm beginning to get more and more difficult to look after, which is what happens, isn't it, really?
You're not getting difficult to look after. You're just getting a little bit more poorly. So it's not a problem for me.
You say that, darling, but I know you know, the stress must be terrible. And that's the main thing with cancer is you can go on about how unstressed you are, but inside you, there's always going to be some stress, isn't there?
There is. But I've found very helpful for me. So recently, since I was very old and had that 60th birthday, I've decided to not work on a Friday. Which I justify to myself because I don't take a lunch break the other 4 days.
Yeah.
And whatever. And so on Fridays, a day where I try and just do some me things, which, so yesterday I went and had a facial.
Yeah.
Which was interesting because I wasn't quite sure what I'd booked apart from I knew it was a facial. And then when I got there, the lady who was very lovely, I said, oh, do I need to take anything off, like my top or anything? And she went, oh, you need to just take everything off except your knickers. Which I thought was really weird for a facial. But it turns out I'd booked some kind of extravaganza facial that involved a head massage, a back massage.
A facial all over your body.
Yeah, foot massage. And oh my God, was it amazing. It was wonderful. And I feel so much better today. I feel so rejuvenated and able to tackle things.
I mean, because you haven't had an easy medical year, have you? I mean, the last couple of years, you've had a couple of medical problems too.
Oh, yeah, but they're only minor things, like a bit of appendicitis and
burst appendix,
and an Achilles thing. So that was ages ago. And I'm all fixed up from that and I'm all better, but it adds
to the stress.
It's just nice to have a bit of a relaxed time so that you're able to deal with all the rest of things life throws at you more.
And I am. I'm not looking for sympathy at all. We decided to do this a couple of years ago, every week, talk about it. And hopefully just talking about it from the response we get, it does seem to help a lot of people, and that's great. But you do get to a time, and I don't want everybody being miserable and sad and think I'm trying to depress the entire world. That dog, a dog that kind of cocks its leg and squats at the same time.
Going off at a tangent there, honey.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, life's like that, isn't it? But I've got to the stage now where I couldn't do my show this last week because I'm going through this difficult breathing patch for some reason, which may just be part of the progression or whatever, you don't know. But I'm damn well going to get to the studios next week and do it. I really am. Because it does boost me a little, doesn't it? It does help, actually. People don't think it, but if you have something you enjoy doing and you can carry on doing it and not just end up shut away. I mean, at the moment, I have to sort of sit and think about getting up.
But we saw the lovely hospice lady on Tuesday, and she's given us some new medicines that can hopefully help with your breathing problems and various other issues that we're having. So hopefully, once you've got they kick in, that will help and you might be able to.
I don't think, I mean, I got the feeling that there is a little competitiveness against GPs and local hospices. And I hope I just have that in my mind and there isn't.
I don't know what you're talking about there.
Good.
No, I don't think there is.
But quite often, a lot of these medical organisations, and I'm not blaming the hospice has been absolutely brilliant to us, absolutely brilliant, and I hope we can do something to reciprocate at some point in the future. But you know, there's a lot of people think, unfortunately, that people put it on. People say to me, not they say I'm putting it on. They can't now, but that you look fine. I mean, it even throws you sometimes. And that people have this idea in their mind that if you're ill from cancer, you're stick thin and you know, can't do anything.
No, but I can see in the, over the last couple of weeks that your appetite's got a bit less and you're sleeping a bit more and feeling, I can tell you are feeling not very well.
No.
You don't call it that, you call it something else, but you don't.
What do I call it?
It's a word that begins with F or...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Totally effed.
I'm totally effed.
You're totally effed.
And my voice is going a bit croaky, but, you know, having had the flu on top of everything else, not been a good year so far.
I mean, the problem we were having, I think what you're referring to with the hospice GP thing was the fact that I get your repeat medications from the GP and you've been... I mean, we're very, very lucky that for pain relief, you only need paracetamol. You're not on to, your pain is not an issue we're having to deal with, which is wonderful. But obviously, we have...
It does hurt not to be able to breathe.
But the reason why you're not having pain, because we have regular paracetamols 3 or 4 times a day. So that's quite a lot a week. And so I tried to order them from the GP and we just get an automated message like, no, you can buy this over the counter, go and get it yourselves. Mm. But when you try and buy it, they'll only let you buy 16 at a time because, or 32 or whatever, because in case you're going to try and kill yourself or something, I think. So that was becoming annoying because I'm having to go out 4 times a week to buy paracetamol. But the hospice lady, when I said to her, guys, annoying about the paracetamol, she was like, that's ridiculous. And so the very next day, the GP rang. And today, our big, massive box of 1 million paracetamols has arrived. So,
it's not 1 million, by the way. She is exaggerating.
But it's just little things like that that do make a difference. Like it was such a pain. You needed them. A pain. That's a bit of a funny comment.
Yeah. But I thought it was just funny.
It was annoying having to keep on going to buy them. And so, thank you, hospice lady. That alone was wonderful.
And I think you have to. You know, there's a temptation, and I do it myself. As soon as people walk in, like the you know, doctor, or you go and see a doctor, when I go and see Tom, my consultant, and the first thing he says, how are you? And I say, oh, fine. That's probably not a good idea.
No.
And I suddenly, when I get into the hospital, I suddenly start thinking, oh, I'm not that ill, looking at everyone else and skipping around.
We had a bit of, not a row in the week, we had a bit of a chat in the week, because I find it very confusing. Because sometimes you call me because you need me early in the morning because I'm feeling really sick and I need some sickness medication or something. And then you say, oh, I feel so shit. I really feel rubbish. And
not the F word.
Well, I was trying to be a little bit, you know. And then you'll spend the whole day, if you're not asleep, telling me how dreadful you feel. And then at 4 o'clock, you went like, well, I think I've been a lot better today. I was like, oh, God, that's really doing my head in. That's really confusing. Are you better or are you feeling as shit as you said you've been feeling all day? So,
I mean, there's this tendency to want to be positive and appear positive, which I've been doing for the last 5 years, but I'm beginning to understand that I can't go on forever. I am terminally ill and, you know, you do have to face the fact that the end will come. And I have to admit, I thought I was a lot tougher than I am. I thought I would just ride with it. Come on up. This is Mulberry.
Yes, it's not me.
No. Come on up. Yes, a good girl.
It's not me doing the panting. That is the dog.
Well, mostly me doing the
panting. Let me just have a sip of my delicious cocktail.
Yes, do. I mean, feel free.
Mm.
I mean, the other sad thing is I really find it difficult at the moment to do anything. I haven't even used my mobility scooter because...
No, that's the moment you've used it once, so that was an expensive trip round the car park, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, let's see, this new medication might make your breathing better and then we'll be able to go and do some things, so...
Yeah, I mean, once I'm beginning to relax now, But once I get up out of bed, I get dressed, getting up from a sofa and walking into the kitchen, then I'm knackered again. In your head, it's quite nice. I can understand why people towards the end say, just leave me here. As long as I know there's someone around when I need it, I'm quite happy just to listen to the birds sing and, you know, look at the garden or whatever. Watch the TV.
Watch
I've gone
the
off
dog cocking her leg.
Yeah, watch the dog cocking her leg. Although she's a girl. But she's looking at you.
We're very lucky because at the end of the garden, there's a fence and then there's a field. And in the field are some 3 or 4 sheep and a little gosling community.
Yep.
And a cockerel. And they quite often have a little waddle around, don't they, or a mooch. So it's quite, there's quite a lot of wildlife to look at.
And a tame pheasant.
And there's the pheasant.
Yeah, a friend of ours who's got a little bit of land rescues animals.
So it's at the end of the garden, so it's perfect. You've got like, quite nice to sit and watch them all.
Yeah, and the dogs go and sit and watch them, and then the geese...
tell the dogs off.
Yeah. Which is quite funny in itself, but it's all gone. It's all gone really quiet, really quiet. So it's just really to say that's where we are at the moment.
We're going to see Tom on Tuesday to get the scan results and see what's happening.
Yeah, you probably when you have cancer, you become an authority, don't you?
Absolutely.
You know,
on everything.
And it really is worrying when you're first diagnosed. But the sooner you can talk to somebody who's had or having the experience, the better. And as soon, I repeat myself every week, but, you know, when you get over 40, it's a good time to make regular trips to a doctor's and just be checked.
And the other thing is just to don't be pessimistic, because when you were first diagnosed this time, it was all okay. This is really quite bad. You've got tumours everywhere, and it's obviously quite nasty. And that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've had 5 brilliant years of doing lots of fun stuff, and you've been carried on working. And I mean, so how amazing are the doctors that make that happen? And okay, things are slowing down a bit now, but we got 5 years we shouldn't have had already.
I mean, you know, I have to say that if you have employers like I do, and I don't have to butter them up. I'm not, I'm at the end of my life and career, and I've accepted totally, but they still let me work if I'm up to, and if I can do it, they still let me work. And if you can do that, if you have something that you really enjoy doing, I mean, obviously,
I don't think you have to butter them up. I think they're just genuinely.
No, I'm saying you don't have to butter them up.
You said I have to butter them up.
No, I didn't. You've taken it the wrong way.
Oh,
you don't. I mean, you don't have to butter up your bosses if you've got good bosses. Anyway, in what I do, there's no way you can butter people up. You can either do it or not. But if I was in some kind of, well, I don't know, almost any other sort of job, I don't think I'd be able to do it.
You would have been retired, put out to pasture long ago.
All right, we don't have to go on about age. But yeah, I have been a bit down this week, and I thought we never talk about mental health or anything like that, because we always think that's an excuse people use, isn't it? But there are times when you do get depressed, which is quite normal in a way. And I've never really been one of those people. I've been very lucky in my life that suffered depression, even when I've had a lot of stress, or lots of people might think stress situations, I don't get too depressed, but I have done over the past couple of weeks. Been a bit ratty and a bit horrible, haven't I?
Well, not as nice as you normally are.
You know, had a bit of a meltdown about putting things on my bedside table.
I know, I did commit a terrible crime. I put your inhaler on the bedside table when it should have been under the pillow, evident. I was suitably chastised.
But this is the kind of thing that happens to everybody, and they get to a certain time.
Yeah, because you've also got, like, you went a bit bonkers at the dogs who were sitting on the bed when normally you encourage them to come up and sit with you. So they were a bit confused as well. But that's just, you were feeling like, because you couldn't breathe and everything, weren't you? You just get agitated.
I was feeling claustrophobic.
But it wasn't your normal self. And so that's just part of it. You have to take that in your stride.
But that's difficult for you, you see.
Well, I understand why it happened. So if I thought it was just you being mean to me, then... I mean,
then you deal with
you
it.
You even accused me of gaslighting you. I was like, oh, come on.
I don't even know what gaslighting is.
You said you're trying to make me think I'm losing my mind.
Because I did not say that, did I?
You did. Yes, you actually did.
Well, I begin to wonder now. But you, I mean, it is difficult, but I think, wonder, you've just given me a happy pill, haven't you? Oh, I shouldn't call them a happy pill.
A chill pill. Let's see how that works.
Which the hospice prescribed. And I think I'm going to have to go and put my bikini on in a minute.
Oh, that'll be nice.
It's getting hot.
I will bring you some sunglasses and a hat.
But, you know, there we are. That's where we are. And I hope you're able to handle what is going on with you. And you do get a bit grumpy and a bit moany, I found, as things carry on, don't you? Not you. I'm talking generally. We do have these little debates about things where you like to take the opposite. And I'm no good at it at the moment, which is a shame because that's my job.
Well, not to worry about that.
Maybe I could get you just to take over the show. Keep Ash in his place.
The one last night where you were trying to tell me that killing a wasp is the same as killing a rabbit.
I didn't actually mean it that way, but
no, I think I could have won that one hands down. But then you started crying, so I was
another thing that I don't know if I wanted to share really, but my emotions have gone all over the place. I'm not the sort of person who ever bursts into tears.
No,
about
you're not
anything.
Normally, but that recently that's been a little bit of a thing. You're alternating between floods of tears and being Mr. Nasty, which isn't neither of them. Which are you?
No.
But that's fine. We've got a lot of boxes of tissues on standby. And I think we've got like a bit of a code word. So if you start to be a bit mean, we can just go out and go like, oh, no, this isn't the real you. This is Mr. Nasty work you coming in.
And I think this demonstrates as well how important the relationship between who's caring for you and looking after you is and how stressful it can be for the person who doesn't have the disease.
I think it's very important to keep communicating. Because I could very easily be bottling this up and then I'd start to feel resentful and I'd start to feel annoyed with you. And so it's very important that we can go, okay, we need to talk about this. You're being a bit of a bastard at the moment. Any chance you could stop that? And you can say the same to me.
I am sorry, bud.
Well, you've always been the loveliest, kindest, nicest man. So I know that it's very out of character and therefore...
Yeah, but I do feel bad. Don't get me crying on this. Yeah, things like that.
No, because I haven't got a box of tissues handy at the moment.
I watch those adverts for badly treated donkeys. And
I've told you about that. Don't watch them.
Anyway, listen, have a great week. It's going to be very warm this week.
So excited for this.
Make the most of the
sunshine.
I do
like being able to sit in the garden after work in the sunshine.
Yeah. And the breeze has dropped and it is warm, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So from Tales of the Wales, we wish you a great weekend. And if you are newly diagnosed, then don't be frightened to ask the Macmillan nurses, the nurses that are in every hospital there purely to help people in our situation, and the charity. There'll be a charity for the cancer.
Yes, and if you're newly diagnosed, probably like listen back to podcast number one. Don't listen from here, listening, because we've got lots of handy tips on along the way about things you can do and...
Yeah, it's not the end.
Basic things like travel insurance and all stuff like that.
Yeah. So. It's not the end. It's a different way of living. And if you remember now, they're saying, you know, one in two of us will get the disease. So there'll be a lot of people living with it. And living with it, you get diagnosed. And I was first diagnosed 25 years ago. So you forget you even had it in some cases. Anyway, on that cheery note,
have a lovely week, everybody. Enjoy the sunshine. And we'll catch up with you next week and tell you what Dr. Tom said about the scan results.
Yeah. Take it easy, guys.